never fear lest you think I'm going to preach for 45 minutes. I'm not going to do that today. So I had a few things that I had was prepared to say, planning for maybe 10 or 15 minutes, and I don't know, as I was sitting here, I think there's some other things that I'm supposed to say. So I'm going to read a few verses. And also, I want this to kind of be a continuation of the time we just had. You know, if someone still has anything you would like to share with the group here, raise your hand and the mic can be brought to you. This is a continuation of the open time. I'm going to read Luke 21, verses 20 through 28. But when you see Jerusalem surrounded by armies, then know that its desolation has come near. Let those who are in Judea flee to the mountains, and let those who are inside the city depart, and let not those who are out in the country enter it. For these are days of vengeance, to fulfill all that is written. Alas, for women who are pregnant and for those who are nursing infants in those days, for there will be great distress upon the earth and wrath against this people. They will fall by the edge of the sword and be led captive among all nations. And Jerusalem will be trampled underfoot by the Gentiles until the times of the Gentiles are fulfilled. I'm going to stop there just for a little bit. This is obviously foretelling the destruction of Jerusalem, and you might wonder, what does this have to do with communion? I don't know. It's just some of the things you guys shared, I felt I was supposed to go here. So Jerusalem, this is the prophecy of what happened in AD 70 when Jerusalem was overrun. But the last verse there says, and Jerusalem will be trampled underfoot by the Gentiles until when? Until the times of the Gentiles are fulfilled. Sort of implying that there will be a time when once again Jerusalem will belong to the Jewish people again, correct? And that time will come when? It says when the times of the Gentiles are fulfilled. So this is where I think between that verse and the next verse, it's skipping many, many, many years, thousands of years. So even though the beginning of this is a prophecy that already happened, I think it's connected to future events. Verse 25, and there will be signs in the sun, the moon, and the stars, and on the earth, distress of nations in perplexity because of the roaring of the sea and the waves. People fainting with fear and with foreboding of what is coming on the world. For the powers of the heavens will be shaken. And then they will see the coming, they will see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. Now when these things begin to take place, straighten up and raise your heads, because your redemption is drawing near. You know, there's been, I think probably most every generation of people, you know, in the last 2,000 years have probably thought, this is it, you know. But there are prophecies in our scriptures that have not been fulfilled in the last 2,000 years. And there's a lot of them that have been fulfilled in our lifetimes. this thing of Jerusalem will be trampled underfoot by the Gentiles until the times of the Gentiles are fulfilled. When did Jerusalem return to the Jews? It was 1948. Was anybody here alive in 1948? We don't. Enos and Lydia aren't here this morning. Tom, you were alive in 1948. That's not very long ago. Now, a little bit later, okay, there's in every gospel, there is this passage is recorded. This prophecy of Jesus, the disciples ask, you know, what's going to be the end? And he gives a lot of stuff to them. It's recorded in every gospel. And in a few of them, it says, well, actually here, in verse 32, just a few verses later, it says, truly I say to you, this generation will not pass away until all has taken place. And we don't know the day or the hour, people, but we are supposed to know the seasons and the times. Whether or not 1948 was when Jerusalem was returned to the Jews, or, you know, 3 years ago, Jerusalem was recognized as the capital of Israel. Until the times of the Gentiles are fulfilled. And isn't it interesting that this stuff is taking place at a time when world mission societies say, I didn't look it up because I wasn't going to say this, but there, for the last, I don't know, 50 years or so, there's been like a target of, you know, how many years yet before we can reach every tongue, tribe, and nation. And for a while, it was like 150 years, you know, 120 years. And even as near as 20 years ago, it was like 50 years. And it had a lot to do with the ability to translate the scriptures. Well, then we have a lot of technology has happened in the last 20 years. And some of you might have seen this recently, but those predictions are now down into the single digits. Maybe 5, maybe 6, maybe 4 years, I don't know. But isn't it interesting, this is happening at the same time, during the lifetimes. Most of us weren't alive when 1948 happened, but it's still, the generation that saw that is still here. Till the generation that sees these things, all these things will happen. I'm going to stop there. It's a whole sermon in itself. I'm just saying the seasons are changing and the times are changing. And this should be a time for great rejoicing. What Stephen was saying about people with no hope, this literally says right there, people fainting with fear and foreboding of what's coming on the world. I think it's safe to say that no time in history has the entire world been more gripped in fear than right now. One of these times, there will be a last time. That we file through here and partake in the, you know, in the earthly reflection of a future time. I don't know when that's going to be. I'm not up here saying this date, so and so time, that doesn't matter, but I know the seasons are changing, people. And verse 28, now when these things begin to take place, straighten up and raise your heads because your redemption is drawing near. With all this stuff going on, What kind of a difference would it make for you and for me if you know 5 years, that's all we got. 5 years, we will see the Lord coming and riding on the clouds. Would that change anything? Probably would. You know, I think hope is so important. We can walk through anything if there's a prize at the end, if there's a something like that. I don't know when, but I know that something's coming. And I'm really excited about it. And one of these times, it's going to be the last time that we file through, we drink the bread, we commemorate the death of the Lord. Because he's going to come fully alive at some point very soon. I'm just going to leave that there. We're going to go ahead and move into communion. I'm actually just going to read. I wrote down all the... There's three accounts of the Last Supper. Luke, Matthew, Mark, and Luke. And then John is the one that gives the account of the feet washing. And the only thing I want to say about this is, you know, we've been talking lately about traditions, and this is another one of them. Communion is a tradition that was given to us. Traditions are supposed to be intimately linked with the truth behind it, so that when we take part in a tradition, it keeps our mind and our heart grounded. That's why we as human beings have to have traditions. We're creatures of habit, and we forget. And so these traditions that were given to us, God knows that we need them to keep our mind focused in the right place. Communion is one of those. You know, we take the body, we take the bread as a commemoration of his body, and we take the cup as a commemoration of his blood. What's the truth behind it? You know, Jesus died, he gave up his body, and he shed his blood. And we're supposed to remember that our body needs to die, just like his did, in order to have new life. And every time we do this, it should be another reminder once again, I need to die, I need to die. I have died. I have died, and I need to continue dying. The blood was shed. The blood covers our sin. And then we have feet washing, and this is something that not a lot of Christian traditions have maintained as a tradition. And I think the communion, when we take the bread and the wine, that is a tradition given to us to remind us to maintain clear communion between us and God. That's the vertical relationship. It's a focus between here and there. And then feet washing is this one. It's the tradition that every time we do it, we should be thinking, I am a servant to my brother, or I'm a servant to my sister. Because these traditions are all given to us in an attempt for Jesus to say, this is what it's going to be like in my kingdom. I don't want you to forget this. And so, you know, I want us to, as we do these things today, let's think about the truth and the principle and the basis behind it. Because it's supposed to recenter us and reground us. First off, with the bread and the cup vertically, and then feet washing, correct relationships horizontally. All in an attempt to just reflect Christ and how he does things. So I'm going to just read Luke's account of of the bread and the wine, and then we'll go ahead. Once I'm done, Dave, if you want to come up, and since this is going to be Dave's last communion as part of the pastoral team, I couldn't let him slip by without doing anything today. And anyway, we'll read it, and then we'll figure out how we're going to file through. Luke 22. Which is incidentally just the next page over from what we just read. Luke 22, verses 14 through 20. And when the hour came, he reclined at table and the apostles with him. And he said to them, I have earnestly desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I tell you, I will not eat it until it is fulfilled in the kingdom of God, or I will not eat it again. Until it is fulfilled in the kingdom of God. And he took a cup, and when he had given thanks, he said, Take this and divide it among yourselves, for I tell you that from now on I will drink of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God comes. And he took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to them, saying, This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. And likewise the cup after they had eaten, saying, This cup that is poured out for you is the new covenant in my blood. But behold, the hand of him who betrays me is with me on the table. For the Son of Man goes as it has been determined, but woe to that man by whom he is betrayed. All right, Dave, you can come on up here.